Well, here we are on the last day of the year. God has, by his providence, brought us through to the end of another year of grace, another year in which we have known in varying degrees the goodness of God towards us. God's goodness, which is undeserved towards us, because still, whether we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ or not, we are still sinners. And we are still not perfect people. And that is one of the reasons why, at this time of year, people consider the subject of New Year resolutions. In discussing New Year resolutions, people are making an acknowledgement. They're making an acknowledgement that they are not what they should be. They usually will admit what they are to a degree, but in saying that they're going to make a New Year's resolution, they are confessing that they are not what they should be. Now, this is interesting because so many people, when you speak to them about sin, when you explain to them that they are sinners, some of them would throw up their hands in horror and in disgust and say, "How dare you suggest such a thing? How dare you suggest that I am a sinner?" But God says it clearly and plainly in the scriptures that all men are sinners. All men fall short of what God requires. And if men were honest, they would say, "Well, yes, I do need to make a New Year's resolution or five, because I am not what I should be." And as soon as people say that they are not what they should be, they are confessing that they are sinners, even if it is only to a small degree. They look at themselves and they realize that they are imperfect. They realize that even by their own standards, they are not as they would wish. They would be able to look back over the past year and be able to acknowledge that there are certain things that they have thought and said and done that are not things that they should have thought and said and done. So there is a general acknowledgement, though sadly not universal, that we are not as we should be. And there is a need to improve. Some people will go as far as to say, "Well, yes, I am a sinner, and I have offended God by the way in which I lived. But now I am going to turn over a new leaf, and now I am going to make at least one, if not many, New Year's resolutions. And in this coming year, God will be pleased with me, and I will earn God's favor." Sadly, such people are deceiving themselves, perhaps even more than those who say they are not sinners. They are a bit like an actor who puts on a show. You watch plays, series, films on the television, on DVD or whatever, and you see people who are playing a part. Sometimes people will grow a beard. Sometimes they will dye their hair, they will wear a wig, they will put makeup on in order to look different from what they normally are. And they will speak not their own words, but words written for them. And they will say things that perhaps they would not normally say. And they will behave in a way in which they will not normally behave. You will perhaps find some people, the actor themselves, they might be very timid people and speak with a very quiet voice. But when they're acting and playing the part, they're very big and bold and they speak very loudly. But they're not really like that at all. They're acting. And it's very easy for us to put on an act. We can announce, "I am going to carry out this New Year's resolution. And as far as everybody around you knows, you are carrying out that New Year's resolution. But you know in your heart that you're not. You just give everybody the impression that you are. Some people, I don't think it's true of anybody here, but some people are smokers, and they say, my New Year's resolution is, I am going to stop smoking. And for the whole of the year, you never see them smoke once. However, as soon as you get within 5 yards of them, you can smell it. People don't seem to realize this, that when you smoke, you stink. It gives you bad breath. Your hair smells. Your clothes smell. You're not nice to be around. I think this is a failure of the government's propaganda. They keep saying, you're going to clog up your arteries. You're going to get emphysema. You're going to get lung cancer. You're going to die. And of course, some people joke and say, no, I'm not going to die. I'm going tomorrow. Ho, ho, ho. What they should do, and aim it particularly at young people, is, why don't you smoke and then you'll have bad breath? Why don't you smoke and then your hair will stink and people won't want to be near you? Perhaps if they did that, it might have a greater effect. But of course they say, oh, we mustn't do that. That will really undermine people's self-esteem. Oh, how dreadful. One of the problems with the world is people's self-esteem is far too high. It's about time we brought it down to earth and to reality. People stopped acting and pretending they were something that they're not, and be themselves. You've heard the saying, it's usually said with regard to politics, but it has more general application. You can fool some of the people all of the time. You can fool all of the people some of the time. But you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Well, I would disagree with that last statement, because it is possible to deceive people for the whole of your lives about what you're really like inside. But you can't deceive God. Because God reads your heart and God knows your heart. God knows your thoughts even before you think them. God knows your motives. God knows the reasons why you say what you say and do what you do. And he knows why you think what you think. He knows the real motives that are deep in your heart that you might be able to hide from everybody else in the whole world for the whole of your life. But God knows all the way through. It cannot be hidden from him. The problem that we have in making and keeping New Year's resolutions is sin. And people continue to sin very often because, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6 verse 14, he's saying, if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. If you are a true believer, the power of sin has been broken. Now notice Paul doesn't say the power of sin has been done away with. Sin still has power over believers, but the power has been broken. And it is now possible for someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who has a new heart, to resist sin and to turn away from sin. And so the people who are most likely to be successful in keeping a New Year's resolution are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must remember that everybody is different. Some people are stronger willed than others. We always have to compare ourselves, as Paul says in Galatians 6, we must compare ourselves with where we've come from, where we come from. Not compare ourselves with other people and say, well, I'm better than they are. That's as maybe. That's not relevant. The question is, have you made progress? You profess that here you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you moved on from that point? Have you made progress in godliness and in holiness? Compare yourself with where you were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Not with someone else who is further back or further forward in their race through life with God. So the question we should first ask ourselves is, has the power of sin been broken? Which is another way of saying, have I truly repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? If I have, then I should expect to know and experience power over sin, the ability to resist sin and to do what is right. The unregenerate have no desire to obey God. The regenerate love to obey God. You've heard me say before, people object to the gospel and they say, but if we're forgiven only on the basis of what Christ has done and not what we do, therefore we can live as we like. To which the answer is, you're absolutely right. We can live as we like, but how does a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ like to live? A believer in the Lord Jesus Christ likes to be holy, likes to be godly. If you say to a true believer, you can live as you like, they'll say, wonderful, I can be godly. I can be holy. That's the response of a true believer. The response of an unbeliever when you say you can live as you like is they clap their hands with glee and they say, wonderful, I can sin and get away with it. That's the unbelieving response. The believing response is, I can be holy. I can be godly. That's how I want to live. Something you might want to remember when you're speaking to people about the gospel, and so often that's what they come out with. I can live as I like. Yes, but how does someone whom God has forgiven, for Christ's sake, want to live? They want to be godly. They want to be like Christ. So there is a need for us to have some kind of resolution to live godly lives. We need to repent of sin and be sure we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we need to set goals. Well, our ultimate goal, I hope, is to be like Christ, is to become like him, holy, godly, perfect in every way, in thought, in word, and in deed. But we need to get there. That's a long way off. How are we going to get from here to there? Well, let's take into account and take into our minds what the scriptures have to say about resolutions. That's what we read earlier in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul says, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Paul had told them, we've got much of that in the New Testament, what he told them. This is how you should live, that's how you are living, and you should do it all the more. So once we know what we should be doing, we should do it, and we should do it with all our might. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. You want to know what God's will for your life is? Here it is. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you become more and more like Christ, that you abstain from immorality. Each of you knows how to control his own body. People ask, is it right to take any sort of drug that will make me an addict? Is it right to consume nicotine in some form or other? Is it right to consume other recreational drugs? The answer has to be, on the basis of this, no. I'm not saying it's sin, because the Bible doesn't explicitly say that, but it does mean, if you become an addict, that you do not control your own body. A substance controls your body. We are to control our own bodies in holiness and honour. We are not to be like the Gentiles. We are to do that which is right. So here is a first indication of what we should resolve to do. We should resolve to be holy in every respect. Now, if you went to the GP and the GP said, you're not very healthy, you're eating too much, you're getting too little exercise, so therefore you must have one carrot and a leaf of lettuce every day to eat, and you must go for a 5-mile run every morning and every evening, and you must do that run in less than 20 minutes. And you'd say, you've got to be kidding. That's unrealistic goal setting. It has been wisely said that if you aim at nothing, you can guarantee you will hit your target. If you're aiming at nothing at all, you're guaranteed you're going to hit it. So we need to set ourselves targets. We need to set ourselves goals. And we need to set ones that are specific, and we need to set ones that are realistic. So it is unrealistic to expect a man who is a great big blob to do a 5-mile run twice a day. It's not realistic. And to say, right, well, you have got used to eating a certain amount of food, and now you've got to go on to one carrot and a lettuce leaf, that's not realistic. What you do is to say, right, well, I want you every day to walk 100 yards. Or, if we're going to be more European, 100 metres. 100 yards is better because it's not as far. So walk 100 yards every day. And you set that as a goal. And when that goal has been reached, and that goal is sustained, then you say, right, we'll now move the goalposts. And the goal now is to walk 200 yards a day. And so instead of saying you're going to run 5 miles, you say, no, you're going to do a little bit to begin with. And you build up until you've reached that goal, you attain that target, you maintain that target, and then you set a new goal, which is to do a bit more. It's the same with regard to food. If you eat too much, you slowly cut down. This is usually what they try and do with people who are addicted to various kinds of drugs. They try and wean them off. They don't say, right, you just stop. Some people do. If you're addicted to diacetylmorphine, which is more commonly known as heroin, you don't know that heroin was discovered in 1922 or thereabouts by the Bayer drug company in Germany, and they marketed heroin pills. You could buy them, and they were good for you until they discovered that you could get addicted to them. And then, of course, with the ending of Prohibition in America and Al Capone and his friends discovering that we can't make profits out of alcohol anymore, they turned to narcotics and started selling heroin and cocaine. But there is a phrase for those who just stop taking their drugs. It's called cold turkey. The reason it's called cold turkey is that what's supposed to happen is when you stop taking the drugs and you start to suffer withdrawal symptoms from taking the drugs, your skin, all the pimples on your skin come up and it looks like a plucked turkey. That's why it's called cold turkey. And I'm told it's not a very pleasant experience. Most people prefer to slowly wean themselves off. You see all the adverts on television for stopping smoking, and it says, Right, most of you can't just stop, so here are various ways in which you can slowly wean yourselves off. With regard to sin, we should just stop. If we know something is wrong, we should stop doing it. And what we should do is to do what is right. Paul says in Ephesians 4, let the thief no longer steal. But he doesn't just say, stop stealing. The thief has used his hands to take things which are not his. So Paul is practical. Let the thief no longer use his hands to steal. Rather, let him do honest work with his hands. There is the phrase, the devil makes use of idle hands. And it's not just hands, it's other parts of our bodies. If there is some part of our anatomy, whether it be our hands, our feet, our mouths, our brains, are used to sin, then we don't just stop sin. We stop using those parts of our bodies for sin and we start using them for something godly. Paul's realistic. The scriptures are realistic. You don't just stop sin. You stop sin and instead you do something else that's positive. You stop the negative. You start the positive. And that's what should be behind New Year's resolutions. We decide, I need to do something in this area, that area, the other area of my life. You might want to work on one at a time. And so you say, that's what I'm going to do. That's my goal. Here are my intermediate goals. So you can be encouraged when you reach your first goal. I've done it. So now you're encouraged to go on to the next goal. So you've walked 100 yards a day for a month. So then you can start doing 200 yards a day for a month. And so on. The scriptures are realistic. The scriptures tell us, Peter tells us in his first letter, that we need to grow in grace. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a new and living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while it is necessary for you to have been grieved by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we are to make progress. We are to go on in the faith. We are to go on and become more and more godly as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. And then again in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. And then we get a list. Supplement your faith with virtue. With virtue, knowledge. With knowledge, knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness. Steadfastness with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We need to progress. We need to go on. We need to be able to look back and say, I'm not what I was. I have made progress. We'll look forward and say, I'm not what I should be. I should be perfect, but I'm not. I want to make progress towards that goal. But I look back and I see, since I was converted, I have made progress. I am better than I was. I am more godly than I was. But I'm not as godly as I should be. But this is only true of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are the only ones who know the continual battle with sin within. And Paul speaks in Romans 7, verses 13 to the end of the chapter, about the battle that goes on within. Because there is remaining sin within the heart of the believer. And we want to do what is right, and yet we keep finding that sin is lurking and leading us away from doing what we want to do. But thank God, we're not saved because we are perfect. We are saved because of the Lord Jesus Christ. In making New Year's resolutions, we should have an order of priority. Resolution number one is for those who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I must repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no point in any other resolution until you have done that resolution. Without doing that, everything else is pointless. And then, having come to Christ, then we need to learn from God, through His Word, what He has to say to us, how we should live our lives in godliness and holiness of life. In Psalm 90, very familiar words, often read at funerals, we have some wisdom given to us. Psalm 90 in verse 12. Teach us, this is Moses, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. The reason being, in verse 10, he said, the years of our life are 70, 70, or by reason of strength, 80, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. We need to consider the fact that we are not going to be here forever. We need to consider the fact that I'm not going to play centre forward for England and score the winning goal in the World Cup final. It's not going to happen. Now, I think Fabio Capello should come and look at me and see what a wonderful footballer I am. But I think he's blinded to my wonderful skills and abilities, as well as my fitness. I could go through a whole list of things that I wished I could have done. But I chose not to do certain things because I did not have the time to do everything. And there were some things I thought were more important than others. Most people have heard of Enoch Powell. Some people think Enoch Powell was a dreadful man. Whether or not he was, that's not the issue. It's not the reason I'm referring to him. Enoch Powell loved the classics. He loved Greek and he loved Latin. And he said the decline of Western civilization coincided with the ending of the teaching of Latin in schools. And he really loved Greek and Latin. He also loved the clarinet. He realized he couldn't do both well. He could do both, but his Greek and Latin would suffer if he concentrated on the clarinet, or the clarinet would suffer if he concentrated on Greek and Latin. So he made a decision. And once he made that decision, he never picked up a clarinet for the rest of his life. And sometimes we have to do that. We have to make a decision. I can't do everything. What are the important things that I should do? And then do those with all our might. We need to have wisdom to number our days, realize we're not going to be here forever. What am I going to do with my life That will be good for me, that will be good for others, and that will bring glory to God. We need to have wisdom to number our days. Not only that, but we need wisdom because Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, we need to make the best use of the time because the days are evil. We live in evil times. We need to use the brains that God has given us to consider how we should live. What am I good at? God has gifted me in a certain way. So therefore I should use the gift or the gifts that God has given me and to use them in order that I might bring glory to God and spread the gospel. Now there's lots and lots and lots of suggestions that I could make concerning New Year's resolutions. But I always give one every year. And to help you, I have some pieces of paper here. It's not a piece of paper I'm going to take and wave in the air and say, peace in our time. It's a piece of paper that I can wave and say, the knowledge of God and His truth in our time. It's a Bible reading plan. This plan will take you through the whole of the scriptures in 1 year. It starts off on January the 1st. You'll see why I started preach this today and not next week. It begins on January the 1st by reading the first four chapters of Genesis. And by the 15th of January, if you follow this, you're reading about four chapters a day. By the 15th of January, you've read Genesis. You then start on Matthew, and you finish Matthew on the 3rd of February. And you then go back into the Old Testament and read Exodus. You then plod through Leviticus, but then, of course, what do you read after Leviticus? You read Hebrews. And so it goes on through the year. Now, this is not a slave driver. This is a guide. Some days you might decide I'm going to read 4 days worth. For several years when I caught the train to work, I would read my Bible on the train. And I could read about 4 chapters on each train journey. So I managed to, 1 year, I actually managed to read the whole of the Bible in 6 weeks, just reading the Bible on the train. Some people, they're not fast readers, they find reading 4 chapters a day a bit much. So they read 1 chapter a day. They still follow the rough plan, it just takes them longer to get through the whole of the Bible. But it's better to read the whole of the Bible than to get to the 15th of January and you say, well, I'm supposed to have read all of Genesis, but I'm still on chapter 3. And you give up. Better to carry on. Keep following the plan. Don't worry about the days. If you can keep to the days, wonderful. If you can read more, excellent. But this is not your master. This is a help. So let me encourage you, if you've never done it before, decide this year, this coming year, you're going to read through the whole of the Bible. If you have done it before, let me encourage you to read through the whole of the Bible again. And if you read through the Bible twice, let me encourage you to read through it again. If you read through the Bible 70 times, let me encourage you to read through it again. We can never get enough of the Word of God. I'm not saying to you, you must do this. This is merely my advice, in addition to anything else you have planned to do in this coming year. But just remember the wise words to make specific resolutions, if you're going to make any. Like, I will get up at 7:15, half past, whatever time you set, that's when I'm going to get up, and then you'll know whether you've done it or not. Every day I am going to put away all the toys that I've played with during the day. Every day I am going to help Mummy do the washing up. Every day I am going to wash my face and hands and brush my teeth and wash behind my ears and do whatever else I'm told to do by Mummy and Daddy. Every day I'm going to do other things to help my brothers and sisters. Every day I'm going to seek to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a famous man, D.L. Moody. He was born in America. He died in America. He came over here a few times and preached the gospel. And he made a decision early in his life, every day I am going to talk to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think he achieved that throughout his life. Sometimes he spoke to thousands, sometimes he spoke to just one. That was a wonderful goal that he set himself. And he was upset when he didn't, he thought he wasn't going to achieve it. Perhaps we should think that we should talk to people more often about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much ignorance about who he is and what he's done. And there's 101, 1,001, 1,001,000 things that we could think about, that we can be doing, that will help ourselves, that will help those around us, and that will bring glory to God. Let's not become slaves of these things. We should be slaves of God. Let's seek to do what God requires of us, but in doing that, we may help ourselves by making and seeking to keep realistic resolutions in order that we might live better for God and the better bring glory and honour to his name.